the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. Stay cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, LFG, let's do Thursday, okay? We are inching closer to Niners Chiefs, and we're really, Dibs, inching closer to 20% of the Warriors roster standing right next to us in this studio.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be fun.
No, and it's fun when you see a real live 7-footer up close and personal, which is going to happen here in about half an hour.
Allegedly, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he might be 6'11". I won't, you know, put him to the test and have him take off his shoes and measure. And that's the thing about NBA players is when you talk about height, a lot of times the height that they are listed at is height in their shoes. And when you get to the NBA draft, that's why you see a guy who's like 6'11 and a half and he's listed at 7'1". In shoes, it's different than when you're in your bare feet.
Yeah. Do you have that moment of anxiety when the doctor asks you to step on the scale, but you still have your shoes on?
No.
Come on, doc. Hang on. Let's get an accurate number here.
I'm going to need to get naked.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. If you're going to weigh me, you're going to weigh me.
It's getting hot in here.
You're not going to weigh
me. I'm going to take all my clothes.
I know you want to see me naked.
Anyway.
Is the way that goes.
That got different fast, but anyway.
They stopped weighing me at doctor's appointments for some reason.
What is going on here?
Why?
I don't know. Back on track. Anyway, so yeah, a bunch of Warriors are going to be here. Special day for them, obviously. All the new guys are doing all the fun stuff. You had the fan night, the practice, the open practice last night, and guys were singing and dancing and carrying on, and we've got some of that for you, and a bunch of them will be in here as they do their Bay Area tour day. So that's coming up in just about 25 minutes. Should be a whole lot of fun. But I know everybody's mind is on the 49ers and the Chiefs. And here we go. This is a massive weekend in the NFL. Almost felt bad for some of the other games that are happening that are seemingly, at least nationally, getting no attention at all, even though they also could claim game of the year status. Like the Vikings are playing the Lions this weekend and nobody cares.
Well,
Nobody
here cares.
Do you know what I mean? Well, no, but even you turn on all the shows, whatever network you want, nobody's talking about the Lions and the Vikings. And that is like, those are, if you want to talk about two NFC teams that right now look like they're humming and at full strength and full health, those are the two, aren't they?
Yes, but it's not a Super Bowl rematch. So,
that,
I mean, whenever you have a Super Bowl rematch, and I don't know how many times you've had this in the regular season following a Super Bowl, it's probably happened a lot. Maybe not 57 times, but it happens, and it happens in the regular season, and that's cool. But, yeah, you've got Detroit and Minnesota, and you know what? Whoever wins, they're going to play again.
Right, yeah.
And when they play again, it might be even bigger then because they might be, you know, 12-1 and 11-2 or whatever that will be when they actually play again. But it's cool that that game's in the morning because that will be the biggest of the morning games. Although Houston and Green Bay,
don't sleep on it.
Also a big game. Yeah. But then you get to the afternoon and, yeah, clear the decks.
Clear it out.
Clear it all out. It's a Super Bowl rematch. It's the Niners and the Chiefs.
We got some Brock Purdy for stuff for you later. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, with some remarks that you're going to want to hear. We'll get into that conversation a little bit later. Greg Cosell will rip Dibs in an hour. We look forward to that.
Oh, boy.
And our buddy Jeff Schwartz of Fox Sports Radio and Beyond, who is a Bay Area guy who used to play for the Chiefs. Former offensive lineman. He's going to join us at 4:15. We're jam-packed with an awesome show today as we really start to ramp up for the weekend. With all that said, started on a crappy note. Not going to lie to you. I got a right hook this morning from Mark Grandy. Just trying to, like, throw some stuff out there, like, hey, what do y'all think about this? And this is one of the reasons I think this weekend is a very big deal, beyond the obvious. Like where I sort of feel that like the Niners not just want this, but in a kind of sort of need way, not going to do the must-win thing. I just mean for their mentality and for where this era of 49er football goes. I was thinking about this. Here's why I think there's so much stress about the 49er outcomes right now. I think that people feel like we're heading down a road. We're not there yet. We're heading down a road where the 49ers could become like many great teams and players through the years, where you go, that was a great, they were great. They didn't win it all, but they were great. Charles Barkley and Ernie Banks and Patrick Ewing and Reggie Miller, or the Buffalo Bills of days gone by, and we could think of other teams too. I know they won one, but sometimes people talk about Bobby Cox's Braves this way, where it's like, how the hell did you only break through sort of kind of once? And then a lot of those players that came in after that never won anything, but man, you were great. And that's the fear. You don't want the 49ers to be, man, they didn't win, but man, they were great. I don't want to look back on this group this way. And I sent a message to y'all that reflected that thought. And, Grandy, what'd you take, about 16 seconds? 16 seconds, I couldn't believe.
Let's see, yeah. You texted us at 11:01. I responded at 11:02.
11:02!
And I said, hate to break it to you, but they're already that.
Well, not yet.
Really?
Well, this would be different than that. And, you know, miss me with Charles Barkley, a guy who...
Why?
He got there once, and they lost. And so, okay.
No, my point is, he's a great player.
But
though,
this is not that. For me, this is different. This is looking at the Staley, Willis, Gore run, the Harbaugh run, oh, where you knocked on that door 3 straight years, 3 conference championship games, 1 Super Bowl, you didn't get it done. And now this group, you would go to, you've been to 4 conference championships, yep, in 5 years. You've been to 2 Super Bowls, and if you don't get it done, that now becomes, for me, different than Buffalo, 4 straight years, same group, and it's different than Charles Barkley, wow, you made it once, good for you. It's, for me, it's different even than Utah, which Stockton to Malone,
yeah,
they were there a lot, and they didn't get it done. This would be 2 different iterations with 1 franchise getting close and not getting it done. So for me, it's a little bit different than all those other examples.
That's
worse.
That's interesting. And obviously, you can affix whatever emotion you want to this. I'm simply, and this is just the way my mind started playing with it, I'm talking about any team or individual where we can freely and openly acknowledge, without debate, wow, they were great. They were great. Charles Barkley was great. Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller. Go to Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks never went, but, like, he was great. Barry Bonds, great. Like, absolute greatness. Cannot deny it. But they never won that ring. And so the reason it felt like a gut punch when he texted that this morning is that, at minimum, I have to admit, he might be right. The reason I want to fight back against it is because when you say they already are the Bills is, that's a completed product. It's done. They went 4 times in a row. They did not win. And then that was it. And those players are now retired. And off into history we go. So when you say the 49ers already are, it makes me feel like, well, you're saying that they can't save this. And I'm sitting here going, no, they can still save it. And I could say, hey, I'm optimistic about the Brock Purdy era. You could immediately respond back and go, well, this isn't about Brock. Maybe this is about the players who have been doing it for a while, Fred and George and Debo. And it's like, ugh, it feels like the curtain is falling and they're this close, at least, to already being the Buffalo Bills. I will argue back. They're not. They're not yet, because they're still here and because they're still playing. And because I checked, they're allowed to win this year.
There you go.
And if they do, they're not the Bills. But I have to at least acknowledge the possibility. And 888-957-9570. Do you feel that way already about this 49er group? Are they the Bills?
They're not the Bills.
Already?
No.
I would say no, but I understand the fear.
This is 2 different things. It's not like the Bills went 4 straight. They lost 4 straight,
right,
and then that was it. They didn't get back, and they haven't gotten back, and that was the way that went. And they probably should have. They definitely should have won 1. They might have should have won 2, but they actually are closer resembling to me like the Utah Jazz in that, or even the New York Knicks, where you had Michael Jordan, and they went up against a team that they just couldn't get over, the Dallas Cowboys and the Triplets. And so they faced them twice in the Super Bowl. They didn't beat them. Buffalo was close. Buffalo was a great team, and they're one of the all-time great teams in the 90s, but you didn't get one. This, to me, is different than that, because this would be a second go-round of really good coach, really good roster, really close. And if you don't get it done again, then this becomes a different level of heartbreak. Well, and I'm thinking about the Dallas Cowboys, who, since they won their last Super Bowl, they are 5-13 in the playoffs, and they have zero conference championship game appearances.
Right, but I would never, at any point during those last 25 years, this is just me now, I would never have looked at the Dallas Cowboys and felt like, well, that's probably the best team in the game. They probably should win the whole thing. I've never felt that way. Even in years where they had a good playoff setting, even when they had home games, the Niners sometimes were the team to go in there and beat them. The Packers went in there and embarrassed them last year. I don't think the Cowboys are all that good. Like, I acknowledge what you're saying. All of these situations are different. But to me, the broader point is, are we looking at the next generation of the story of, wow, they were really good. They're really good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But never got it done. And if you do take Brock out of this, I can feel that stress and that angst. And, Grandy, even I remember him saying that to us on opening night. We're down there at Levi's, and we get the news that Christian is hurt and is not going to play, and we're all getting ready for that Jets game. And remember the conversation we had? We were like, it's not just about the uniform or the fan base. It's about a small handful of players. I'm going to leave Trent out of it because Trent's not homegrown. But, like, really, the three names that really pop to mind immediately are Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Fred Warner. Yep. And there are others, but these are guys who have either had their 30th birthday or they're damn close to having it. It feels like they've been around the block a lot. It feels like injuries are mounting, and time is running thin. And, yes, you mentioned some great names. Patrick Willis, Frank Gore.
Joe Staley.
Those are great names, but they're not Jerry Rice and Steve Young and Joe Montana and people like that who have a legacy that just automatically feels different because they did that thing and they got that ring.
Exactly. And that's why this group of the players you named with, Fred and Deebo and George, these are guys who will be alongside those other legends if they don't get it done. And if they're able to get one or more, then they get elevated in the minds of fans, and especially fans like Mark Grandy, who's not even 30 yet. He wasn't alive when the Niners won their last Super Bowl, so he's been waiting his whole life for a good team, this team, to go out there and do the damn thing, which they've been close. They've been close twice now since Grandy turned 21, and they haven't been able to get it done, and yet here you have another team that's good. You're good again, and your coach is still really good, and you are in a spot where you're probably going to be a playoff team. Can you do it again in January? Because you don't get to do this every year.
It just has that feel. If it doesn't happen soon, and here's why. All these examples we're bringing up, all of them can be explained away when you sort of bring up the why. Like when I say to you, why did Patrick Ewing not ever break through? Why?
because he couldn't hit a layup in game six?
You could answer that.
I mean, Charles Smith gagged at the rim.
I think there's a bigger answer.
John Starks went 0-for-15 in the game.
I'll give you two words.
It's Michael Jordan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Those guys, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, they could not get over Michael Jordan. Why did the Bills not win? Even though they never played the 49ers.
Scott Norwood,
you could answer it that way. But I'd argue that in those days,
Dallas.
The Cowboys and the 49ers were the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game or whenever. They were the Super Bowl. And so the Buffalo Bills would get there, and whoever was waiting for them was somebody who came out of a then much more powerful NFC. And I wonder if this is another chapter in the book of when we get done with all of this, the Niners are like, wow, man, they were really good. But they could never get over Patrick Mahomes. And it's one of the reasons why I don't hear a lot of peacocking this week. I don't hear confidence. I hear a ton of trepidation from 49er fans. You're excited. Yeah. You're excited, but admit it. You're not confident. You're not that excited because a lot of you think they're going to lose this weekend.
What's to be confident about? You're 3-3 and you're facing a team that's beaten you four straight times, including two Super Bowls.
What's not to be confident about? You're home, you're favored, and you're...
You're favored, yeah.
So what? I mean, you're...
Yeah, you're favored.
It's not like when you play them, you get your bell rung.
No,
you're
when
right
you play
there.
Them, you get your heart ripped out of your chest.
Yeah, but it's not like you're getting roundly outplayed every time. So...
No, but the heartbreak is more real than being able to look at it cognitively and think, you know what? We probably outplayed him, darn it.
Right, I don't want that.
The heartbreak is greater than the cognition of the reality
for
of
sure.
The fact that you have been even with this team in three of the four games.
For sure, but my point is, therefore, take that to a projection, and there's no reason to think that the Chiefs are going to come in Sunday and just run roughshod over the Niners.
I don't think any fan thinks that. I think fans think that it's going to be close, and when close gets to late, the Niners are going to find a way to lose the game. That, for me, is what I'm feeling from Niner fans. Like, are we as good as the Chiefs? Yeah. Can we beat the Chiefs? Sure. If it's close, will we win?
No.
God, no.
Yeah.
God, no. Are you kidding me?
And?
They have Patrick Mahomes, and we blow fourth quarter leads.
You just described every Knicks and Pacers fan of the early 90s.
They weren't as good as Chicago, ever. Like, New York, maybe you could argue early. Reggie made it once.
But that's not even the point. The point is that when you looked at those matchups, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers, Craig Elo, side of the head, when you knew... You just knew. You're like, even if we somehow are ready to break through, that dude's going to rip our heart out. And that's what this is starting to feel like. And even though this, on Sunday, would be akin to Reggie Miller winning game one of a seven-game series, it's still a big deal. It's a big deal because they're telling us that it's a big deal. Fred Warner, openly, I've never beaten this guy. We need to beat this guy. And this game this weekend, I very, very confidently feel is a precursor to other things. I really do. Whether it's playing them again or just having the swagger to walk into the playoffs and beat whoever ends up in your way. I think that this is, I said it to you yesterday, this is a mental thing around their head, and they have got to snap it. They have to.
For me, it's the more important thing is to get a lead in the fourth quarter and not give it up, because they've done it twice. Mm-hmm. Two of their three losses this year have been games where they led in the fourth quarter and they gave up the lead. So that, for me, is more of a muscle that you need to exercise, as opposed to we beat Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, because that, for me, is a more sustainable problem this year than, boy, can we beat Patrick Mahomes.
So you reject the thought, though, that the Niners, quote, already are.
Already are
the Buffalo Bills.
They're not the Bills.
I agree.
No, I think that what they potentially could be, though, is a second iteration of Hall of Fame talent without a ring. And that's not Buffalo. Buffalo was 4 in a row, and You know, you look at all those games. They lost to the Giants, and that was a fluky Scott Norwood. Then they played back-to-back against Dallas, and I was just looking at those games. They lost one of those games 52-17.
Yeah, they got their doors blown off.
Blown off but that's, by a that, team that was far, far, far superior to them.
But that's what that's what I'm getting at. Do you understand that if they don't break through, this is worse than the Bills?
I disagree.
I don't care that you went to four straight Super Bowls. You were very often, if not the whole time, you were not the better team, and it was clear.
Well, you lost to Washington.
Yes.
In the second one.
What was the score?
37-24.
Yep.
And Washington was favored in that game by 7.
That's what I'm getting at.
But
Washington was a big favorite. Dallas was a big favorite.
Dallas is way better than you. Yeah, Dallas by 6.5.
They were way better.
52-17.
What was the spread in the Giants game, the Norwood game?
The Norwood game, I think the spread, Buffalo had to be favored.
Right.
Yeah, favored by 6.5.
And remember, the Giants were playing with a backup QB. They were on their second quarterback. Hostetler was in there. So
Otis Anderson with 2 T's.
Yes, there was one year where you were, quote-unquote, supposed to win it. But very rarely did you come out of the Bills games and go, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You didn't. You just licked wounds and went, damn, the AFC sucks. Like, we didn't even belong on the field with that team.
I get that, but you were 49-15 in the regular season.
They were amazing,
yes.
But they never got to the end and gave their fans the feeling. Yes, the Giants year,
yep.
But you didn't. Very rarely did you give your fans the feeling, dude, we're the dogs. We should win. That has happened almost every time the Niners have bowed out. Every time. Think about the 4 bow outs, the big ones, okay, the big ones. You had 2 double-digit leads in the Super Bowl. You lost them both.
Those games, though, were toss-ups, according to Vegas.
But I understand, but then you got there, and you had a double-digit second-half lead. Rams, right? NFC Championship game, double-digit lead, second half, Jaquiski Tart. You walked out, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And then there's Philadelphia, where at minimum you feel like, well, we never even had a chance. We never got out of the starting gate, and you can feel like would've, you can't do should've, you can play the would've game,
sure.
And then you do go there the next year, and you blow their doors off, and you see why Deebo Samuel feels the way he feels. And a lot of fans, whether you want to admit it or not, I know a lot feel that way, where it's like, God, we're the best team. We have the best team, and you're getting absolutely nothing out of it. In terms of the final prize, it's a dangerous spot they're in right now. It's a dangerous spot. And this weekend does not give you finality on any of it, but I think it's a huge step.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a step. I think psychologically it might be a step, but ultimately you have to get into January, and then that is where you have to take the big steps. And I think about what we were talking about in the thread and the Niner legends who went before, and I was just looking at the 2012 season, the 2013 Super Bowl, Harbaugh versus Harbaugh, and all those names on there and how close you were to actually getting it done, and you had to rally, and you came back, and you had 4 shots inside the 10, and you didn't win it. So those players all retired without one, and now you mentioned Kittle and Deebo and Fred Warner, the homegrown guys, and forget Brock because he's so young. You would hope that he's going to be here for another 10 or 15 years of, you know, having legitimate cracks at this. But even Kyle Juszczyk, who was here on the team when they lost the last 2 Super Bowls, you would hope that these guys can get one. But if they don't get one, are they still Niner legends? Yes, but they would be filed alongside the other guys with the Niners who don't have one.
Lesser legends.
Yeah,
they're lesser. It is. It just
is. Lowercase L.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it takes nothing away from the performances that they have, the relationships they built with fans, all of that stuff. But yeah, it's different. Grandy, why do you think they're already the Bills?
Well, I mean, obviously, it changes if, say, they go on and they win the Super Bowl this year. Like, it kind of makes the 4 deep losses feel different. But, I mean, you have 4 losses in the NFC Championship game or beyond. Yep. There's a very few teams who in a span of 6, 7, 8 years have that. Like, this is exceedingly rare. And a lot of it is a compliment, but a lot of it is also you still haven't finished the deal.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I wouldn't even need to. You already know. If I asked you, you know the answer to this. What is my most painful Bay Area fan moment in my lifetime.
It's the 0-2 World Series.
There it is. And three World Series starting 8 years later only sort of made that better. Only sort of.
It made it better.
It made it better, sort of, because I can still sit here and feel the pain.
I get
it. Still sit.
But if the Niners win the Super Bowl this year, does that not ease your pain of the last three Super Bowls they've lost?
First of all, that phrase just brought my mind to Field of Dreams when you just did ease your pain.
Totally.
Grandy is like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Go watch the movie.
Anyway, I know Field of Dreams.
Do you know Ease Your Pain?
I didn't recognize that one.
Okay. It's one of the, you know, the guy that's up in the sky.
It's more underrated than If You Build It, They Will Come.
Yeah.
That one, I know.
Well, that's in the same
right.
Look.
That's the first one. If You Build It, They Will. The whispers that Kevin Costner's hearing.
Yeah.
It's actually his. Ease His Pain. He's talking about his dad. Anyway, sorry to spoil the movie. Anyway. It will ease most of the pain, but not all of it. Like, not all of it. There's no, when you should have championships and you don't get them, it never goes away. That's been my experience.
Well, and it's an appropriate thing to say on this day, which is now 35 years to the day removed from the earthquake, and the Giants lost that World Series, and
If you're of a certain age that you remember that
World Series, and as a Giants fan, that was one that probably, and put aside the horrific nature of that day in terms of lives lost, as far as sports goes, that had to be as painful as any because you lost to the A's.
Oh, it was brutal.
And you got swept by the A's.
It was brutal. And it was doubly brutal because it was like, I'm so bummed that they lost, and now combined with I'm not even supposed to care because people are losing their lives in the Bay Area is in a total disarray.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It was a two-week gap, and then you come back, and then they finished the sweep, and the series was never even that close. And so, I think that sports wounds do heal.